Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. When someone falls and dies at a construction site in Massachusetts, the federal government steps in and imposes a fine. Massachusetts has a considerably higher rate of workplace fatalities than other states, but construction companies here often end up paying significantly lower fines than companies in other states. That's the focus of a new report out today from the New England Center of Investigative Reporting at Boston University. The author of that report, Lisa Chedicle, is with us now. She says fines by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, are usually low to begin with, and companies in Massachusetts are particularly successful at negotiating those fines even lower, in some cases as much as 50%.
What I did find was looking nationally, Massachusetts ranks fifth in terms of the highest reductions to initial median fines. The other states, when they impose a fine, they tend to stick to that fine no matter what the company argues.
Why is that? Why is Massachusetts somewhat of an outlier?
Good question. And what OSHA would say is that the companies present compelling reasons why the fine should be reduced. Many times what OSHA will tell you is that the fine is only part of the penalty, and the bigger issue for them is the getting reassurances from the company that they'll take added safety precautions going forward, add training programs, and if they make those assurances, then the financial penalty can be reduced, because OSHA's main priority is to ensure that these kinds of accidents don't happen again.
Now, are the construction companies very often getting hit with civil lawsuits by families who've lost a loved one?
In Massachusetts, in the fatal fall cases that I looked at, civil lawsuits are very rare. And what people speculate is that it's just not a litigation-apt population. A lot of these workers are young. A lot are immigrants. A lot are working for their buddies, neighborhood buddies, who've cobbled together this company, and an accident happens. It's not something that dawns on a family, let's go sue Joe. So very rarely do you see a civil lawsuit come out of these cases.
Now, people might remember a fairly high-profile accident that you write about in your piece. It happened a few years ago when a piece of scaffolding collapsed at a construction site on Boylston Street in Boston, and that killed three men. And that attracted a lot of attention from lawmakers to look into safety and inspection on construction sites. Whatever came of that?
Well, what came of that was a beautifully done report with recommendations in it by a committee of the legislature, among them criminal prosecution of violators, companies that violate OSHA, exploring the possibility of moving away from OSHA and implementing their own state plan for inspection, which almost two dozen states have done, where they take over inspection of construction sites from OSHA and have their own inspectors out, and also made other recommendations for just improving training and safety. No action taken. It's one of those reports that was well done, but there was no follow-up to those recommendations. Other measures have happened since the scaffolding accident in terms of some protections for temporary workers, because a lot of the workers on these sites are sort of temporary laborers. But that's the question of the story is there was so much concern after that scaffolding accident, and the legislature did come in and issue a set of recommendations, but no action by the state.
As you were reporting this, did anything leap out at you as one magic wand that could be waved that would vastly help the current situation?
I don't think there's one magic wand. I think it's nationally OSHA's, what some would say, lax enforcement has been a problem. The penalties, maximum penalties that can be imposed by OSHA have not been adjusted upward. Only once in 40 years is an issue. The families, when they're my conversations with them, and they don't know the exact dollar amount of the fine, but when I had to sort of tell them, you know, $5,000, $3,000, $1,500, I mean, that such shock and disappointment in the level of fines that are being imposed.
Lisa Chedicle, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa Cheticle is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist working with the New England Center for Investigative Reporting at Boston University.